It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3, the game. The power play is underway. He is Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. JoJo, welcome back. Glad you're feeling better.
Oh, my God. It's so good to be back. And thank you for the wonderful modern medicine that we have. It feels great. And then tonight, we actually get to do something for ourselves tonight.
Yes, we do. We're, you know, we're going to go to Sammy Hagar.
We are.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, a person that used to work here said we couldn't talk about the stuff on the air because they didn't know the actual rules and they were terrible at their job. But, you know, it's okay.
Where's that list? That's a long list.
Am I on one today? I feel like I'm on one today.
I think I'm on that list somewhere somehow. But, no, we'll have fun tonight. Also, shout out to whomever stacked the carousel in the kitchen with decaffeinated coffee. Not sure who did that, but I will find you because I have a particular set of skills.
Do you think they did that just to mess with you?
Of course they did. There's so much decaffeinated coffee, and God bless. I mean, Community Coffee's fantastic. It's great coffee. I love you guys. Thank you. And I'm to our owner, Bud, thank you for the coffee. I love it, love it, love it. But decaffeinated coffee has a special place in you know where. And somebody stacked the carousel with about 50 cups of decaffeinated. Well done. The effort, the plan, the pettiness. I'm jealous that I can't come up with something that good. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, I it's okay. You know,
better now.
I'm glad Sammy Hagar tonight. Glad you feel better. We got Sammy Hagar tonight. Cut days yesterday with the Titans they're not done yet. I mean, they're putting together their 53-man roster. I think the initial 53-man roster is going to change. But your thoughts, because I didn't get your thoughts yesterday, they traded Malik Willis, and they also have added to the linebacking core as well.
Afterthought, Malik Willis. We were never going to talk about him after that game, so goodbye. They got something back in return from him. That's fantastic. And now they've added a few more people. This linebacker,
Ernest Jones, that's the linebacker that they've added. He's 24 years old. He was a team captain. I mean, looking at it on paper, I mean, this seems like a really good deal for the Titans.
But why'd the Rams let him go?
That's my question, too.
Like, what? I mean, you want money? Everybody wants money, but it's like, I want a new contract. Hey, I'm getting traded to the Titans.
But here's the thing. Like, I texted Jared yesterday when this thing went down, and I was like, what do you think about this trade? And he's like, what's wrong with him? You know, like that, I mean, he's like, I like it. Like, I want to like it, but it's like, what's wrong with him? Like, why would they do this? He hadn't, you know, I'm sure he wants a new contract, but he hasn't been holding out. He hasn't been demanding anything. He hasn't demanded a trade, any of that stuff. And then they go and they make this move. And not only do they make this move, it's for a fifth-round pick in 2026, and they get a pick back.
I saw that.
So and it's
And I just seen the report, like, he demanded a trade, and, like, I took a nap, and I woke up, was like, hey, he's been traded to the Titans, so that's good.
But I don't think he ever really demanded a trade. They just said he could seek one.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. And then he's out and gone, and now he's going to be for the Titans.
Like, did he steal office supplies? Like, what?
Oh, man. I got a little bone to pick with Robbie Stanley. Listen to him this morning. Robbie thinks his Titans team is going to win the Super Bowl. He's like, that defense is fantastic now. Just fantastic. They've got a great shot. I was like, Robbie, if they win 5 games, Callahan should be coach of the year. You got corners who haven't practiced. You got corners who haven't practiced with the secondary. That defensive line, Sweat was okay. How's he going to hold up week 3, 4, 5, 6? I don't know. We don't know, right?
Yeah.
You know, is Buck Rising going to send a tweet at Simmons after game one and he'll just kind of melt down and not play the rest of the season? I don't know. Harold Landry, is he back to 2018, 2019, wherever was Harold Landry that was so good?
You sound like me last night. Like, when I did the 6 o'clock hour, I was like, we don't know how Will Levis is going to be. We don't know if this offensive line is better. We don't know if they have a pass rush.
Thank you.
We don't know how good this secondary that everybody's excited about is going to be. They only have 4 cornerbacks on the roster right now.
On and on and on. And, you know, and this Kenneth Murray was the lowest rated linebacker in free agency. Chargers couldn't wait to get rid of him, right? So the Titans got him. Maybe he finds out why he's good here. That's fine. It's great. But I'm not counting on that guy for anything. just because he was the lowest rated linebacker that was out there in free agency. When he signed here, people were like, oh, that terrible sign. We saw it. Pro Football Focus, one of those analytic nerd groups, had it out there that he wasn't any good, on and on and on. So there's a lot of questions. And my thing goes back, Chase, to the day of first day of pads when Simmons acted like a jackass and should have been thrown out and Callahan didn't throw him out. Right then I said, he doesn't have the guts to take this team to winning season. So my win prediction, five games they win.
Skyler has the text of the day, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you wasn't with the Titans when they went 6-11, don't stand with us when we go 7-10 this year.
But it all goes back to the first game.
Yeah.
If they beat Chicago, I will change my tune. They might go 9-8. If they lose to Chicago, I think this team goes 4-13, 5-12. I really do.
Okay. Here is my true, like, you asked me about the Titans. What do you think about the Titans? Here is my true answer to you. I have no bleeping idea. I really don't. Now, do I think on paper that there are aspects of this team that are better than last year's team? Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
They took swings at it. You can sit here and you can critique every little thing that Rand Carthon has done, and you can disagree with things that they've done. You can disagree with the power structure and all of that. You can disagree with firing Vrabel or whatever. But you can't sit here and deny that they took swings at it, because they did. I mean, they were very active in free agency. I like their draft picks. Now it just all has to play out. And if it doesn't play out, then they evaluated wrong, and then you can criticize them for that. But you can't sit here and go, well, they didn't do anything. Now, there are some position groups that, like pass rush, outside linebacker, that they didn't address.
Right.
But, you know, as we've said, in this offseason, when you had so many holes on a roster, you couldn't fix everything. You could not address every problem. So now you got to see how it's all going to work. Can this gel together? Is Brian Callahan as advertised? He's a rookie head coach. He's going to make mistakes as a rookie head coach. But is he going to learn from those mistakes? That's what we got to wait and see. So I literally have the same view on this team that I had with the Predators going into last year, and that is, I really have no idea how they're going to be. I think they're going to be more fun to watch. I'm intrigued. I'm excited for the season. But I have no idea if they're a playoff team, if they're an 8-win team, if they're a 5-win team, or if they win a game at all. I have no idea.
I think they're a 5-win team at best. I think there's still a lot of questions on this team, and there's a lot of things going on, and we'll find out. I mean, game one, the Bears in 10 days, whatever it is, and they'll know a lot about this football team. Then I just, you know, there's a lot of pieces coming in. They got to put them together. They got to gel. You got to get on the same page. You know, that old sports cliche that goes on. But, yeah, if you're a Titans fan, you're excited because they have done the work. They've put in the time to upgrade this roster and go forward. And I think there's a lot of things that could be good. Will they be good? I don't know. That's the best part about this. We got to watch and see when the season starts. Until then, we'll sit here and speculate. But, man, I just don't think I don't know. Something about this team that I don't think they have it. That certain je ne sais quoi, that certain something. I don't think this team has it right now.
Steven on Twitter that always just wants to argue with everybody. Big Jeff should not have been thrown out of practice. God, y'all are soft. He should have been thrown out of practice, Steven.
We didn't say it.
Because No. I'm going at this guy because he wants to mess around and find out.
Do it. Oh, yeah.
So, here's the deal. You throw a punch in a game, you get thrown out of the game. Go look up the freaking rules and see how it works. He threw a punch.
Yeah.
The ref looked at him and said, if this had been a game, you would have been thrown out. So, no, we're not soft. We're just quoting the rules.
That's right.
He should have been thrown out of practice.
And the fact that Callahan did not throw him out of practice.
The last head coach would have thrown his ass out of practice.
Yes, you're right. What in the language? Come on. You're right. And that's the thing. We didn't – the ref's the one that said, I would have tossed him. And Callahan's like, nah, it's day one and da-da-da. And I'm thinking, you are absolutely – what's wrong with the NFL is that Callahan is soft and doesn't want to upset your players. That's kind of the theme around the National Football League. Let's don't upset our players. That's why the National Football League right now, the product is awful. There's like four good teams and 28 that are awful right now. There's no superstars. There's no – who's the most feared person in the National Football League? Honestly, we had this question. Who is it? Who's the most feared player in the National Football League?
Define feared.
That you're like, oh, my God, this guy's going to knock my block off or he's going to pancake me down the field.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one.
There's not. There's not one.
From a they can hurt you standpoint, it's probably Mahomes. Like, you know.
No, physically.
Right.
I'm going to knock your head off.
No, I know. I know what you're saying. I don't have a good answer.
There's not one. Everybody's become too nice. Callahan's too nice. It was evident that first day he didn't throw Simmons out of practice. And I know it was 3 weeks ago, and I get all that. But back to your Steven, we didn't say that. The referee said I would have thrown him out of the game for doing that. That's not us.
But that's okay. That doesn't fit your narrative because you just want to pick at people. I see you tweet at us all the time, and you just want to start stuff and get your name read on the radio. So there you go. You did. But Steven, you're wrong. So
that's right. Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to call you out. I'm in a don't mess with me.
You're it. F-A-F-O today, baby. Right,
exactly. That's how I feel. Big show planned today.
You got the interns. They're all scared,
I know.
Too.
They're all scared. Dr. Crane's like got his hand on the dump button. Like, what's about to happen?
I don't know what's
y'all want to fight me? You want to come at me? Let's go. Let's yeah.
Can
let's
we just go to breakfast?
Oh, man.
Breakfast? Maybe that's my problem. I haven't had breakfast.
You are, I'm telling you, one of my favorite movies is Lethal Weapon, the Mel Gibson character, Martin Riggs, when he's fighting everybody, and he turns around and he says, who's blanking next? And that's Chase this morning. Blanking next?
It's a great movie. John McClane going to join us at 9:30. At 10 o'clock today, our first visit, we're going to do this every week, MTSU head football coach Derek Mason. As the Derek Mason era begins, that will happen at 10 o'clock today. So looking forward to our conversation with him.
Yeah, Tennessee Tech rolls in on Saturday. And you can hear that game, Chase, at 6 o'clock, 5:30 pregame on Totally Hits, Totally Nashville.
Pregame 93.3.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was 30 minutes before.
Well, they have a different show and everything.
But I thought we picked the pregame up at 5:30.
Well, no.
Okay.
4:30.
4:30?
Yeah.
What's an hour and a half pregame?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't plan on being down there that early.
Well, they do a thing that I don't think you're involved in.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4:30.
Something else that goes on I'm not involved in, which is better.
There you go.
Okay. But damn it, the game is Saturday at 6.
On Totally Hits, Totally Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Just listen to that. All right. We'll have more coming. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Little Sammy Hagar, Rock Candy, coming back on this Wednesday. 615-737-1025. All right, let's get to a call, and then you have a rant on something.
Yeah, I do.
We're ranting today. Adam in Portland, what's up?
Chase, I don't see you lose your cool very often, man. It's weird.
Thank you.
It's a weird thing
it's
to
a, me. Sometimes it happens.
I like the trolls on there, too, man. Let them do their thing. So, all right, this is my thing. I think – I don't understand why everybody's so negative on the Titans. Six wins, that feels like a negative opinion to me. As a Titans fan, I always look at the schedule. I'm like 13-4, 14-3. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a fan, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say I don't see us losing very many games. But honestly, if I was stepping back and looking at it, I was going, I don't think we're going to be able to stop anybody from running on us. And if they, unless T'Vondre Sweat's an absolute animal out there, I don't think, but then they addressed that yesterday. So I think we're back to being a pretty solid team, with an exception of having a new coaching staff, which still scares me. I think the roster looks pretty solid, right? Like, am I missing something there? I think we should be better.
Yeah. I mean, I think, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, I think they should be better. If they're not better, then the evaluation process is completely broken. I mean, that's not a shot at anybody. That's right. Just like it. Like they've tried. I mean, like yeah. They like that. You know, are they Bart Simpson with the cake that says at least you tried?
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't think it's that bad. But you know, here's the other thing. And like, you know, I'm sad you missed Brent Pry yesterday because it was a really good interview. Virginia Tech head football coach. But I asked him about this. That you know, you go from 3 wins to 7 wins, and now the goal is to get, you know, 10 or above. And I'll never forget, I had a coach say this, I heard Floyd say this, Taylor Lewan said it one time, it's one thing to go from like 3 to 7 wins, but getting from that 7 to above 10 mark, that's the true challenge. Because then you're going from being like middle of the pack to a true contender. And you got to have the right guys and the right culture and the right mindset to get above that hump.
You're right. Yeah.
And so they've taken swings putting this team together. And I like that. And I like a lot of the moves that they made. But now they have to work. And you got to give that some time to see if they're going to work.
Well, I mean, you upgraded at corner. You got a great center in Cushenberry. You know, you like Latham at left tackle. I mean, you got Kenneth Murray, who hoped, you know, is put all the naysayers inside and becomes a really great middle linebacker. You're getting Ernest from the Rams now to plug in there. So, yeah, you did it. Disconcerting, though, the Ridley talk. I didn't run fast enough. All that. So you don't want to hear. I asked, you know, Chris Sanders about that. I said, would you ever go in the media and say you? He's like, no, I would never do that. The fact that he went out and said, I just didn't run hard enough or all that. You don't want to hear that. You do not want to hear that from anybody from a team. Like, I didn't work hard enough. So it's all, but anyway, it's all there to get for a good season if they can all come together. I just don't think they can, but that's me. Don't listen to me. I'm an idiot. Here's something else, too. When they cut Caleb Farley yesterday, the guy's got a story. I hate what happened to his father. I hate that he was injured. He shouldn't have been drafted in the first point. Somebody sent me a tweet. Not in the first round. Somebody sent me a tweet and said, hey, have you ever heard anybody ever say, "Whoa, sure, I'm glad I got over that back problem." Nobody's ever said that. Nobody's ever said that in their life. So his drafts in 20 and 21 and 20 were awful. His draft in 18, awful. Yeah, we could find a couple things he did correct. He got Derrick Henry in 2016. He took a chance on Byron. That's great. That's what you're supposed to do. But these picks that John Robinson had were awful. I would not let John Robinson anywhere near my football team. And I like John Robinson.
That's your buddy.
I like John Robinson. I just don't think he can draft players. He took Simmons. That's great.
Okay, but he took Henry. I mean, he took Byard. Like, he had some
hits. That's fine.
He had some hits.
He did.
He had some hits.
He had some massive misses.
I know, but that's...
Rashawn Evans at 18. Why don't we talk about that enough? Nobody wants to talk about that.
It's a bad pick.
They had 4 picks. Rashawn Evans. All right, you got Harold Landry. All right. Hey, yeah, some guy struck gold. Fantastic. About Rashad Weaver. Rashad Weaver should wear a ski mask that sports plays because he's stealing money from the football team. Awful. 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 Isaiah Wilson, awful.
We're doing this.
I'm on the 2020 draft now. Isaiah Wilson, terrible. Christian Fulton, terrible. Darrington Evans in the 3rd round from Appalachian State, terrible. You want to be cool and draft these guys? Say, hey, how did you find Chase McCabe in the 4th round out of Cumberland? How did you do that? Nobody cares because you didn't perform. 3rd round, 4th round. Larrell Murchison from NC State, what's that guy doing now? I think he bagged my groceries at Publix. I don't know where that guy is now. Cole McDonald.
He had a farm.
Who the hell is Cole McDonald?
He had a farm.
I don't even remember this guy.
Dr. Craig.
Did I miss a joke?
Cole McDonald had a farm.
That was hilarious.
Old McDonald.
I'm back. I'm sorry. But just don't, you know, because you got Derrick Henry and you think that should be enough to get you over? No.
All right. But again, the 20 draft was terrible. The 21 draft was just as bad.
Yeah.
22, I don't know yet. I mean, McCrary I think's okay. Burks is not.
Okay. We're talking about a guy who's okay.
Okay, but Petit Frere, okay. Yeah, so that draft, not
great.
You
want a bunch of okays on your team?
2019 was his best draft.
You want a bunch of okays on your team?
No.
Answer the question.
No, 2019 was his best draft.
Okay.
By far.
You struck gold.
Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, Nate Davis, Imani Hooker, David Long were guys that played.
Good.
The Rashawn Evans was not a first-round pick. Harold Landry, I think, has lived up to it. Dane Cruikshank was a fifth-round pick, so whatever.
Yeah. Who's that last pick in that 18 draft, Chase?
Luke Falk. I don't know why they took him. Well, but here, no, I do know why they took him, because I know the school that John Robinson went to. Floyd sat in here one time and he said, if I could have gotten away with it, I would have taken a quarterback in every draft because it's the most important position.
Okay.
If you have the picks.
But why didn't he?
Because he didn't have the picks.
Exactly.
Right. And I agree. In that draft, when you only had four picks, why are you wasting a six-rounder on Luke Falk that didn't even make the team?
Nope.
So I get that. Jack Conklin, that was a hit. I mean, so look, he had hits.
He's a first-rounder. You got a hit on the first-rounder.
He had hits. He had massive misses. I get it.
I don't want him near my team, Chase. I don't want him near my team.
Okay, so you agree that he should have gotten fired when they were first in the division?
No, I think you fire him at the end of the season. I'm not. I don't like firing people in season.
I mean,
I don't.
She
like that.
Wrecked the season by firing him when she.
Yeah,
did.
She's got a lot to blame with this. Absolutely, because it's got to stop with. She's like, I'm the controlling owner. Well, it's got to go. They don't make any move without her knowing about it.
Yeah,
and if they do, then there's a massive disconnect over there at whatever that's called now, Murchison Sports Park or whatever it is. Cole McDonald Farms.
Matt says, I agree with Joe. Misses far outweigh the hits. And look, that's clearly. What
you're not gonna hit on every guy. Right? No. We know this, and you can
unless you're on Broadway on the weekends,
and you can hit on some people on the fourth and fifth and sixth. That's great, and that would be kind of like, oh, how'd you get so and so? That's great, and that's what he's looking for because look, he's a guy that went to SEMO, and he knows the lower level players, and which is great. There's a lot of good players there, but there's also man all these misses, and so the Derrick Henry thing. I mean, who was before the guy from Clemson that hated Paul Kaharsky?
Dodd.
Kevin Dodd. Kevin Dodd. What the hell?
Kevin Dudd.
Kevin Dudd, right?
Yeah, he was terrible.
But anyway, let's just move forward with what you got with Rand Carthon, the team, see what they can do, see how they can put it together, and go. I just think they're a 5-win team.
Hair Metal Henry says, Cletus T. Judd had more hits than J-Rob.
Keep those dumb jokes away tonight, Hair Metal Henry.
Mike and Lebanon, the Titans are still recovering from J-Rob leaving the team in shambles. It's why they're playing so many second stringers.
Look, part of me with the 2022, the A.J. Brown, the Burks, I blame Amy Adams for half of that, if not more than that, just because he had to go to her and say, hey, A.J. Brown's asking this amount of money, and they're like, there's no way in hell we're paying that. Well, he's going to probably hold out and be a disruption. Let's figure something out. No, trade him or do whatever. And that happened, and he was gone, and then they panic picked on Treylon Burks, and it's stung him ever since.
I just looked out and I saw this guy in the parking lot that looked like John Robinson. I'm like, oh crap, is he here?
I hope so. John
he's
Robinson,
here to fight you.
Feel free to come on and defend your. I like John Robinson as a person. Feel free to come on and defend your record anytime. Open invite. But come I don't on. Want you near my football team ever again.
Okay, come on.
Because we could have picked Derrick Henry, Chase. We saw what he did at Alabama. I saw what Jack Conklin did at Michigan State. We could have made those picks, right?
Sure.
Who do we blame for Isaiah Wilson?
I mean, John Robinson's the one that's going to get the blame for that. He's the GM.
He's the GM. And it's not really John Robinson's fault. I want to go blame Sam Pittman because Sam Pittman lied to everybody about Isaiah Wilson when he was the O-line coach at Georgia. And don't blame – and they wanted to blame COVID for all this. We do in-person workouts. My ass. He's got the game tape. I need game tape.
Hey, what's the language?
I need game tape. I had plenty of game tape on Isaiah Wilson, but that's always going to be like, what the hell happened here with all that?
Yeah. We blame Sam Pittman for that.
Yeah, we do.
That's what we blame. Coming up next, John McClain going to join us. Maybe he can calm us down. We'll see how things are going with him. Do that next here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
A lot going on today.
Dr. Crane's going to get it now.
Yep.
He's looking at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, do we have John?
It's all, man. Look, the thing is, we don't scream normally, but we do because we care, right? We'd love to see this football team go to the Super Bowl.
I'm screaming because people just piss me off this morning.
But that's the thing. I'd love to see this team go to the Super Bowl. I'd love to see Vanderbilt win the national championship in football. I'd love all these things to happen in our backyard.
Yeah.
For Tennessee to go. I don't care. I want a championship here in Nashville. And we don't have one. Hell, Knoxville got one.
Right. Let's go to John McClain in Houston now, who joins us every week. John, we're fired up today. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. We're ready for the season. Teams now getting down to 53. Want to start with the Titans and some of the moves they have made here. They trade Malik Willis to Green Bay. Didn't really think that was that big of a deal. The fact that they got a seventh-round pick for him, you know, was pretty big. But when you look at the initial Titans 53-man roster, what's kind of stood out to you with what they've done so far?
Well, that there are going to be a lot of changes, as there will be on every roster. And I'm not paying any attention to any rosters other than the Texans, and I'm paying very little to that because there's still going to be so many moves made. What I did with the Titans, I watched their first team play against New Orleans, and I was impressed with their offense. And if Levis continues to play like that, the AFC South is going to be so much more fun this season because you've got Stroud, Lawrence, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis, a quarterback, three of whom were drafted within the top four and one who was a second-round pick. And I noticed also I was watching about – I wanted to see how Tony Pollack was going to play. Usually when you have blown-out ligament, you're better the second season back than you were the first season back, which would certainly bode well for the running game. And it's amazing what Rand Cawthorn has done with the offense, bringing in talent. And he took advantage of having money in free agency, took advantage of having high picks in the draft. And I expect that their offense is going to be pretty prolific if they get consistent play out of Levis.
John, we've had this conversation the last week or so, Chase and I have on this show. Are NFL, and I love your opinion, I love the history, and you've got more knowledge, that's why I love talking to you. Are NFL coaches today, John, too nice?
Well, I've never thought about that, Joe. You have to deal with athletes differently than the way you did. If Vince Lombardi were coaching today, first of all, he would adjust his style to the players. But if he came in today and treated these players the way he treated those players, most of them wouldn't react positively to him. Now, you could take a guy like Tom Landry. He was stoic and didn't show a lot of personality to his players, but they respected the hell out of him. And he would not have had to adjust. Some coaches, though, they certainly would. A guy like Frank Kush, who went from being a drill sergeant at Arizona State to the Ravens, and he was so bad on his players that John Elway threatened to play baseball for the Yankees instead of playing for him. And there were a lot of coaches like that. A guy like Bum Phillips. Bum treated his players with respect. Now, this wouldn't have worked, but he let them do what they wanted to do off the field as long as they played on Sunday. And they were a group that were hard partiers. They had a lot of fun. The Raiders were the same way. Raiders had a lot of fun off the field, but boy, they were all football when it came to games. And so most coaches would adjust, but some of them, I wouldn't say they're too soft. I would say the players are soft, not physically, but because they've come up being the stars from high school, being treated like royalty, and I can't wait to see the effect of NIL money. You know, there's guys, teams paying high school players now. That's against the rules, but they are. And some schools are stockpiling these high school players and trying to act like, oh, it doesn't have anything to do with us, paying them like the college programs did forever. So I would say players couldn't be coached the way they used to coach them because of the way they've been brought up and the way they've been fawned over going back to middle school or maybe even elementary school.
John McClain is with us. So were there any cuts from the Texans that surprised you?
No, because you can sign 16 guys back. You know, next week is a better barometer because each team, like the Titans, they're going to hold some spots for players. I would imagine Brian Callahan has got a couple of Bengals out there that he liked that he might be trying to bring in there. So in the Texans' case, one of the moves they made, Case Keenum, their third quarterback, he hurt his foot, I think, in the last preseason game. So they just went and put him on IR for the year because his main function is being a mentor behind the scenes for C.J. Stroud. He didn't get a lot of recognition for that last year, but he played a big role in Stroud's success. So now he can still be there as Stroud's mentor every day. So So I thought that was a pretty shrewd move. They kept five running backs here. Damian Pierce, who was really good as a rookie 2 years ago and just does not fit the outside zone scheme. 8 carries, 9 yards in preseason, where a guy like Cam Akers, who was coming off his second ruptured Achilles tendon last year with Minnesota, before that with the Rams, they signed him on a lark as a camp body the first week of camp, and he's been tremendous. So he better be the backup running back, because Damian Pierce has shown no reason to be on the team other than everybody loves him.
John, yesterday, allegedly, the Titans are trading for Rams linebacker Ernest Jones. And the report came out yesterday morning, like, Ernest Jones, you know, he wanted more money. And it's like, he's filled, you know, if he wants to get a trade or whatever. A few hours later, he's been traded to, allegedly, again, to the Tennessee Titans. And Chase and I first came up, our questions were like, all right, what's wrong? Why are the Rams so quick to get rid of him and not say, let's work something out? It just seems odd, John. Are we wrong about this?
No, the antenna should go up in a situation like that. There's a reason when teams, especially good teams, get rid of players they had high hopes for. It could be that they think, well, that player, unless he gets more money, he's just going to be a pain in the butt. He's not the kind that can just come in here and put it behind him. Or there's other reasons. But when a good team is trying to win the division and make the playoffs again, like the Rams, part with somebody like that, you got to worry about it. On the other hand, sometimes the grass is greener somewhere else. We see it happen all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he started a middle linebacker for the Rams in the Super Bowl, and by all indications, he's never been a problem with the organization. Plays hard and everything else. It was just, and then the Titans, John, get trade value back for Ernest Jones. It just seems like, I don't recall some of this happening where a guy that good is given up that quickly and gets returned for that. And you're right, putting the antenna up, that is something else.
Also, Joe, you have to figure, who do the Rams have? Do they have a really good young guy ready to take the next step where that could be an easier decision?
Yeah, that's a good point.
John McClain is with us. We'll have more with him coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. John, kind of looking at some, you know, big storylines going into the season. How much pressure, and maybe pressure is the wrong word, but do you feel like John Harbaugh and the Ravens have, with the roster they've put together and the expectations that everybody has for that roster, led by Lamar Jackson, to knock off the Chiefs and win the AFC?
I don't think they're thinking about that. You know, John Harbaugh's entrenched as a great coach, and of course, getting Derrick Henry. They're hoping that that'll help them get back to the Super Bowl. They had everything the way they wanted it. They had the best record. They had the Chiefs in Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium, and they couldn't beat them. And, you know, the Chiefs were nothing special throughout last season. And then when they got in the playoffs, they just turned it up a notch, starting with Miami, then Baltimore, then winning the Super Bowl. So I think they just want to get there. I picked Baltimore to win the Super Bowl last year, and I was feeling pretty good when they hosted the championship game. I think I'm going to pick them again, because I think Derrick Henry will turn out to be, if not the best free agent signing, one of the best free agent signings, and help them, if they're in cold and bad weather, run the ball better. And I keep thinking about when Derrick Henry, when Lamar Jackson puts the ball in Henry's stomach, everybody on defense is going to think Derrick Henry's getting the ball, and those ends better have set the edge and better not be drawn in. They will be. And then Jackson will pull it out and take off around the end. And then the next time they're thinking, okay, he's not going to give it to him, they're going to worry about Jackson. Boom, Henry comes barreling between the tackles. I think they'll lead the league in rushing, which is not going out on a limb, since they usually do. But I just think Baltimore, even though Mike McDonald's gone, the defensive coordinator who went to Seattle, I think Baltimore is going to be really good. Can they beat the Chiefs? You know, they'd like to get them in the same situation back in Baltimore in a playoff game, and certainly that would be a great game to watch them again.
John, nobody's ever going to dispute that Bud Grant and Marv Levy were amazing football coaches. Is Kyle Shanahan heading into that territory if he has another season where he does not get a Super Bowl victory?
Well, it depends, Joe, if he wins one after that. You know, as long as you win one, you can say you're a Super Bowl winner. Unfortunately for Marv Levy and Bud Grant, both of whom are in the Hall of Fame, they just couldn't win the big one. And I don't know if I watched them, and I don't know if it was their fault, if it was just better coaching by the opponents. But I think, yes, if you have that stigma and you have the best talent and you don't win a Super Bowl, it's going to haunt you.
Yeah, you know, we all love to play revisionist history. I mean, how the story would have turned out different if Levy would have gotten one, you know, and had, you know, too bad the Vikings had to go up against the Steel Curtain back in the 70s. Just how much it would have changed, but they were still great coaches. It's just unfortunate they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, or if Atlanta, when Shanahan was the offensive coordinator, he did a terrible fourth quarter with his play calls. And Julian Edelman made one of the three greatest catches in Super Bowl history, and New England had the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. There's a lot of things like that. And that haunts Shanahan as well. It gets brought up to him a lot. And so he's got to get over the hump, or that negativity is going to follow him.
Yeah, it's no secret, you know, Chase and I, and we've talked to you about Mike McDaniel and the great coach he is. Is there a lot of pressure now? Tua's got the big contract, John. They've disappointed the playoffs. They got a lot of talent there. Is there a lot of pressure? I know all the head coaches have pressure on them, but does Mike McDaniel have more than most?
When the owner comes out and says he thinks you can win the Super Bowl, nobody else thinks it. That's pressure, because it's always going to be brought up to you by the media, what the owner said, especially whether you're doing well or you're doing poorly. And they obviously have a great offense, got a great running game, great receivers. They had injuries at defense. They let Christian Wilkins, their best defensive player, go in free agency, made the decision to bulk up on the offense again. Tell you what, you know what to say about defense, and that's not the case anymore, although that's not true. Kansas City defense won the Super Bowl. Steve Spagnuolo is now getting paid like a head coach, because he's been a hell of a coordinator for Andy Reid. So you better have the defense when you start playing outdoors in January if you want to win the Super Bowl. And right now the Dolphins do not. But I think if they won a playoff game, then next year there would be a lot of pressure on McDaniel.
John McClain is with us. Is there a team that stands out to you that we're not talking about that – maybe by the end of the year, we are going to be talking about in a positive way?
I try to look at a lot of predictions by people just to see what they're talking about. And it's amazing to me that Tampa is not getting more love after winning the division last year, even though the Bucs were 9-8 and they won a playoff game and then beat Philadelphia. And New Orleans was 9-8 and didn't make the playoffs. Now, I'm not high on New Orleans, but the Buccaneers, the way Baker Mayfield fit in there and got that big new contract, even though I'm picking the Falcons, it wouldn't surprise me if they won the division again. In the AFC, a lot of people are high on the Chargers just because Jim Harbaugh is the coach. Now, if he has that guy on the Netflix documentary going around and illegally scouting like he did in Michigan, you know, they may overtake the Chiefs.
Do you think that all seriousness, very good, John. Do you think that relationship with Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, though, is going to work? Because I feel like Justin Herbert is really good, but he's been missing something. He's had bad coaching. He hadn't had a lot of, you know, players around him. But can Harbaugh untap something that hasn't been there yet?
I'll tell you guys a story, and I apologize if I've told you this before. Back before the draft, I was listening to Mike Greenberg's radio show on ESPN Greeny, and he was talking about going to a funeral of a guy he'd known at Michigan forever, and Harbaugh was there. And they started talking, and Harbaugh talked so much about Justin Herbert. He didn't talk about other quarterbacks. He just, when they were talking about quarterbacks in the NFL, he talked about him, and I remember at the time, Greenberg goes, you know what? After that conversation, it won't surprise me at all if he doesn't end up as the Chargers coach. So he loves Justin Herbert, everything about him. And he thinks he can get out of Herbert what the other coaches didn't. And I think Brandon Staley held him back. You know, when you're changing coaches and coordinators and quarterback coaches and systems for these young guys, that's the worst thing you can do to them. You've got to give them some stability. Like, I'm guessing that Brian Callahan now, he'll be there at least 4 years. He's got to bring Will Levis some stability, and he and Rand Cawthorn have to put players around him, and I'm guessing that's what Harbaugh's going to do. They got to run the ball a whole lot better out there to take the pressure off Herbert, but he's gotten rid of some guys who've made plays for years but couldn't get them over the playoff hump. So I think they'll finish second. I can't imagine they would overtake the Chiefs, but I do believe they'll compete for a wild card berth in his first season, and I think Herbert will be better.
John, from the 5,000 feet up in the air view, what is the strongest division in the National Football League, or one that excites you the most? I got to tell you, the AFC South with Jacksonville, Tennessee, Houston, Indianapolis with the young quarterbacks and just the momentum, it's pretty exciting. But in your opinion, what's the strongest division?
It is exciting. It's definitely exciting, but it's not the best. They say divisions are only as good as their last team, last place team. Well, a lot of people would say the AFC East, but you got New England. New England will be in the competition for the first pick in the draft. It's got to be the AFC North, where every team had a winning record last year. I saw a prediction in Sports Illustrated today that had Pittsburgh 10-7. I'm like, what is Roethlisberger back and Terry Bradshaw come out of retirement? They don't even have a quarterback. And this was done last week. So, and they're picking Cleveland in the playoffs. You got putting a lot of faith in Deshaun Watson, who hadn't thrown a pass since he got hurt last year. So I think that division with Baltimore and Cincinnati competing for first place and Cleveland and Pittsburgh competing for last place, all four, good chance they're all going to have winning records again, and three of them at least, two of them at least competing for a wild card berth, with the Ravens and Bengals competing for first place. I think it is clearly the best division.
John, I want to get your thoughts real quick. I just saw this come across. Adam Schefter reporting that the Cowboys will sign running back Dalvin Cook. It's clear that they've obviously needed to do some work with the running back room. What do you think about Dalvin Cook to the Cowboys?
Nothing. Who cares? How many times has he been cut the last 2 years? That's an act of desperation by a team that should have recognized this problem months ago, because every fan and member of the media knew the Cowboys were going to have trouble running the ball. They should have signed Derrick Henry, but they didn't. And now Dalvin Cook, you might as well throw him in that hodgepodge as they've got there of running backs, because that puts any even more pressure on Dak Prescott. And I think he'll have great regular season stats again before he fails in the playoffs.
John, the most important thing I got to think for you was Baylor on Saturday. Tarleton State, is that who we got?
Tarleton State.
Yeah, so where's Tarleton located?
At Tarleton. They don't even give scholarships. And Baylor ought to win this game handily, and hell, it might be the only game they win. But all my friends are going to it, and I'm like, why? And so Baylor ought to beat them by 40, but man, oh man, playing Tarleton State, they've obviously given them a lot of money. They're kind of out. They are west of Fort Worth.
Oh, middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Great.
Stephenville is where they are, I think.
Stephenville. Okay, there you go. John, appreciate it as always. Next week we'll be actually previewing some games, so looking forward to it.
Hey, guys, I can't wait. Have a great rest of the week.
You too. John McClain joining us here on the show. Great way to end the hour. And then coming up next, Derek Mason going to join the show.
Yes, sir.
Head coach at MTSU, not our D-Mace, the other one, will join us coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.